All right, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It's a great three-word verse, okay? We somewhere, someplace, probably all of us have reached the point of desperation in our lives. Do I have agreement on that?
Yes.
Okay. Feeling like our life is a little out of control and sometimes maybe a lot out of control. And maybe we've fallen on our knees and bowed our heads and fixed our full attention on God and prayed and begging with intensity like Jesus did in the garden to his Father. Now, have you been there in your life? Yeah, probably all of us have been there. We're just saying, please, God. Okay, and so that intensity, God help me prayers, maybe like, you say something you wish you hadn't have said, or you send an email and somebody read it and it wasn't good, and or whatever, and you're saying, please, God, help me. Why am I so stupid? Of course, that may be all of us extroverts. I don't know. Okay. Or illness. Man, Lord, my body hurts, and I have all these illnesses, and Lord, can't you heal me? Or my marriage has fallen apart, and Lord, it's just in a shambles, and I don't know if we're going to make it. Or I lost my job. Lord, please help me find the right job. Or please send me money. We can't get our bills paid, and we need money. And so a lot of us have been in those kind of prayers. But most of the time, we might have this nagging feeling about prayer just a little foreign to us. Because it's not always our first response when we're not in that intensity in need of help. When we mention the word prayer, our immediate assumption is that we're asking God for something, right? I mean, even when I started this sermon putting together, right away I'm starting to go after the request. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. How many things can you ask God for in the first place? And God is not saying that. In fact, if you look at, it's just one aspect. If you look at Philippians 4, 6, it says, but in everything, by prayer, and when he says prayer, he means a dialogue with God, a back and forth dialogue, talking in your heart to God. And then supplication means request. So we have two different types of prayer there. With thanksgiving, and we're supposed to have a thankful heart, right? And so we're studying the subject of prayer this morning, but even more important, we're embracing a continuous dialogue with God. So let's read our passage together. It's really long, but I'll take the white, and you take the yellow. Okay? Pray. That's not good enough. Okay? Pray. All right. Pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. Pray without ceasing. Doesn't seem possible, does it? And yet, God tells us to do it, and I think it's entirely possible. So let me start with the conclusion of my sermon so that you know where I'm going, okay? I'm just going to give you the conclusion now. The punchline or the how-to of continuous, constant dialogue with God. It's inviting God into your continuous thought life, your inner dialogue, when you talk to yourself and don't act like you don't. Okay? Right? Oh, somebody says something to you, and right away in your mind you're going, boy, were they trying to dog me? Or whatever. You always have that dialogue going on. That's the only way you can figure things out, your thinking process. And so what God is asking you to do is to bring Him into that dialogue. That's continuous prayer. There's no other way to do continuous prayer but to bring Him into that dialogue. And so the other thing is, don't say amen. What does amen mean in our Christian community? Stop the prayer, right? And so don't say amen. It's a continuous prayer that never ends in your thinking. So you invite Him in and you keep Him in that inner dialogue. Everybody with me? Because I'm going to repeat it over and over and over till it comes out your nostrils this morning.
Amen.
Because I think it's so... Yeah, amen. Okay, all right. Yeah, you like that kind of stuff, huh? Okay, all right. Oh, man. is too important for you and me and our church. And when I say church, I mean the people. Who cares about the building? The people, not to be a praying people. Pray without ceasing. Without ceasing means, from a dictionary definition, not ceasing from a continuous activity, not stopping. Can you imagine what our life in God would be if we continually dialogued with Him in that inner thought? You know, I've been telling Debbie lately, quite a while, I just somehow feel like my relationship is off the mark with God. You ever feel that way? And it's like, I feel like I've lost something or we've lost something, and yet I know I love God and I pray and some of those kind of things. And so during the week, I thought, you know, I'm just going to, one of the weeks we were out, I thought, well, I'll just look up my scripture and see what it has to say. It was pray without ceasing. And immediately I realized I had let go of that inner dialogue with God. And it made me feel like I was in a desert. And so without that constant inner dialogue, you begin to lose the feeling of relationship with God. And so I immediately started meditating on that scripture and thinking about it and on our scripture for today. And so it becomes highly important that we understand how God can deal with us through constant dialogue with Him in our mind. So listen to me. We can approach Him and have a relationship with Him knowing that prayer has huge value to Him. Not just us. God loves it. He tells us to do it, and He tells us to do it all the time. So it's a high priority for God as well as for us. And it's a high value for Him, it's a high value for us. Yet I'm convinced we will never see the value of praying in our lives until we see how God values our prayer to Him. Do you hear me this morning? Okay. You're all just kind of staring. Pray without ceasing. And until we let Him answer our requests His way rather than our way. So what should our approach be to prayer? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. I want to talk about our approach with God here for a second. Here's what the Bible teaches in our directness of prayer. And I have it up here, but we're going to read it together because that other one was a little short, don't you think? Okay, so I'm going to read it and you read it with me. In whom we have boldness. Okay, wait, I'm sorry. Thank you to the other three of you. Okay, here we go. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. All right, now, one of the problems we have from the original language, it shouldn't say faith in Him. It's His faith or the faith of Him. So let me just reread it. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through His faith. Not because we need to muster up the faith to have prayer, but because He mustered up the faith and did it for us. Now, that may be a foreign concept to you. I don't know. But He had, just like us, He had to have faith. And He did it. And He did it for us. Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author, which means the starter and finisher of our faith. Now, the English people translating our Bible put in our. It's not there. Okay, you'll see it in italics in your Bible. Italics mean they add that, and half the time it's good, the other half it's not good. Okay, so this is how it should say, looking unto Jesus, the starter and finisher of faith. Doesn't that make a difference? The starter and finisher of faith. And His faith kicked the door wide open for us to have direct access to the Father, direct prayer, boldness, confidence, to be able to speak to the God who created the universe. That's amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine if we have that boldness and strength to go before our Father, how hard that is on our spiritual enemy. I bet you he doesn't like it. What do you think? Especially when we have the power of the Holy Spirit who takes our prayer and takes it to God and intercedes for us. He's given us the right and the privilege to have direct access to Him and to approach Him with boldness. So I want to expand that verse with all of the understandings of the word. And let me just read this to you. In whom we have boldness, the freedom of speech and access, the right to address our God with confidence, placing ourselves in the hands of God through and because of Christ's faith. His faith covered our weakness so we can know we have strong boldness to talk to our Heavenly Father. Interesting concept. It can be and it should be. So is your prayer bold and confident? We're talking today about prayer as the main or fundamental internal action. Becoming second nature in our lives. And again, by inviting Him into our inner world, into our inner dialogue. But here's the clincher. Because this will make or break your prayer life. When we make a request of Him, we must allow the answer to be to that request to be of His choosing and not ours. Once you adopt that it's yours, it's not going to get answered very often, and you're going to lose your steam for prayer. If you let Him answer it in His way, you'll have it. So in other words, we're not praying for our solution, but waiting in expectation for His much wiser and better answer to our problem or cause. He's God. We are not. And when we give Him our solution, I think for the most part, He kind of laughs and ignores it. He has such a great wider range of what He thinks than we do. And so many times our expectation in prayer limits our eyesight so that we can't even see the answers. Let me give you a good example for that. Last year we went down to Wolf Lodge. Now it's a water park. You know, it's a hotel and water park. So we went down there with our kids and grandkids, and we walked out there, and there's like four different slides. This is actually a part view of it. Four different slides, and these kids slide through these things. Okay. And so my grandkids get up to the top, and they lean over the thing, and they said, "Oh, catch us!" Right? I'm hoping they're not jumping off. Okay, yeah, sorry. So they get in the slide, and there they go. And so I get to the bottom of the slide, and I'm waiting. These kids are coming through, and they are my grandkids. And they're coming through, and they're coming through. And I'm thinking, where are the grandkids? And all of a sudden, they tackle me, and they fall down. Oh, it's the next slide over. I didn't have the right slide. You know, when we pray, and we expect the answer to be what we prayed, we stand at the wrong slide. Do you see that? We stand at the wrong slide. We can't see God's answer because we are telling Him how to do it in our prayer. And if you think about it for a minute, and as you pray, you will be praying for God to do something specific for you or someone else, right? And we're telling them what to do. Because our ability to see the whole picture and what's best for us is way too narrow. Amen. Compared to God's complete picture, so much more that He can answer. You know, Thursday, as I was studying, I have my verse for the day that I look at on my Bible app on my phone, and it was in Jeremiah 10:17. And He said, "I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And immediately I thought, wait a minute. So many times in our prayer, God is testing our hearts. And he's testing our minds to see where we're at. And I remember, it drew me back to 2001. I spent all of 2000 working a consulting job in San Diego, California. I'd fly out Sunday, come back Friday. And I did that for about 10 months. And then when I got back, I couldn't find a job. So what do you think my prayer should be? God, give me a job. Right? I mean, I'm seeing the money go through our hands and, you know, and it's going out pretty fast. And I'm thinking, get a job. And so I don't have a job for 7 months. 7 months. Before I finally was offered a job. Now, was I sweating? Yep. Yeah. Yeah, we could try to God-ize it, right? No, yeah, you know, God's got it all taken. No, I was sweating. Did I feel like God wasn't listening? Yeah, I have to admit it. Did I feel like God didn't care? Yeah, kind of. Or else I'd have a job, right? My solution. But with all these panicky thoughts, I look at it now and think, I think he was testing my heart in the process of whatever my circumstances. He was testing my heart. And what did I learn through that? Durable faith. I knew that God would supply my needs. You remember that verse in Philippians says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches of the glory in Christ Jesus." The question was I going to trust him with that, or was I not? But it has to be on his terms, not my terms. And so I came, and Debbie as well with me. We became to just depend on God. No matter what the outcome was, we were going to depend on him. And those lessons are etched on my heart. They're etched on my heart. And maybe you prayed for an answer in your hearts, but you haven't seen it. Because the answer is not the way you'd hoped. Or the way you planned it, or the way you demanded it. Let's be honest. So why would we call out to God if we already know the answer? Maybe we want him to be the big genie in the sky for us, and we give the command and rub the jar, and then he answers our prayer. But that really makes him the servant and us the God, doesn't it? When you stop to think about it. Now, we've talked about coming to him in boldness and confidence. And we have this other side of prayer with many of you. And that is that you feel like we're too small for God. Right? We're too small for him to care. And I've heard this over and over and over. And if you don't have that feeling, it doesn't mean that others don't. And many have said to me, because God is busy running the universe, how can he care about me? Or I would be selfish if I prayed for my own needs, and so I put my needs last. Great humility. I know that he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, but that's just a figure of speech. He's not in the business of taking care of me, and I'm not going to ask him to do it. I've heard that many times. And yet, he asks you and I to pray about everything. Everything. And people come to me and say, well, wait a minute, do you think I should pray about this? Or is that the wrong way to pray, or the white prayer? Hey, listen, none of us know the right and wrong way. Right? Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought. And God tells us, pray about everything. So how can he know the little things in our life? Jesus says in Matthew 6:8, therefore, do not be like them, the hypocrite Pharisees who flaunt their prayers in public. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. He already knows. He just wants us to ask so we understand his answer. People, we need God asks. Pray without stopping. Dialogue with him. Talk with him. Meditate on his words. Realign our philosophy with his word. So let me conclude and be redundant about it. It's inviting God into your continuous thought life, your inner dialogue, and talking and fellowshipping with him, and not just by yourself. And it's not praying for our solutions, we're praying for his solutions to our problems. Because it's too important to you and me in this church of people not to be praying people. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning. Lord, help us to bring you into our thought life and keep you there. Lord, I was so almost ashamed and bummed when I realized I had let go of our dialogue together. And I have felt like my life has changed in just a couple weeks because our dialogue is back. I just pray that for everybody sitting here, that we invite you into our dialogue and then give you the power and not us. We just need to cry out to our dad, which is who you are. Our heads are bowed. You may have come and you don't know God. You don't maybe don't have a relationship with him. You never really invited him into your heart, period. Let me talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and that the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 tells us how we can have that relationship. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, boss, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning, I'm going to pray a prayer and you can just pray along with me. The prayer goes like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just like that verse said, and because of that, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. I surrender my life to you.